Bienvenue sur les balados de Décibel 514. Petit aperçu sur le procédé créatif des chansons avec les membres de The Amberglows. An insight into the songwriting process with the members of The Amberglows.
Nothingness is like, I believe in nothingness personally.
Yeah, that's good. It's minimal. It's nice. Feels a bit more emotive, like
exactly.
As it picks
that's
up.
That's the thing. It's like hearing sound all the time. You don't pay attention to it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And then deep in the back will be this.
As long as he gets some finger tapping in there, we're all good.
I think, yeah, when we write a song, it's nothing is really pre-determined. It just kind of happens. We're not necessarily a progressive rock band with a concept album.
Yeah.
So it just kind of happens in the room, and that's how we go about things.
If we manage to find a line that's directing or something with maybe lyrics or some kind of musical line, maybe we'll go there, but usually they all stand alone.
I'm speaking from a slightly different perspective because I write the lyrics, and also like we all play different roles in the band. And from my end, I kind of like to show up with the structure. So from my end, I already have a vision. But that being said, this is only one quarter of the whole result in the end, because everybody else is going to bring an input, and then it becomes a life form of its own.
I'm not like a lead bass player by any means, but I do tend to try to create groove in a certain mood. And what's good in this band, I would say, like as a compliment to my drummer, is like he actually really listens to everyone, not just the bass. He listens to absolutely everything, even the vocals. If there's like a little tick in a vocal, in a lyric or something that happens, he will actually go and punctuate it.
A lot of times, what I like about Kevin's bass playing is it's melodic, but it's also kind of loose, and he likes to, you know, sometimes really take time to improvise, work on ideas before he's set in his ways with a bass line. And I like that too, because there's this kind of looseness between us. We like to lock in, but we also like to explore and kind of, you know, figure out what we're each doing, and I think find some sort of chemistry.
A lot of times when we're doing a new song, Martin will have either half-finished lyrics or fully completed lyrics, some kind of chord structure, and then he'll bring that in, or somebody else will have some kind of other idea and we'll work off that. But everything really happens in the room, and that's kind of between the four of us jamming together off a song. A lot of times that, you know, our best stuff is developed that way. I mean, other times, like the other week, we have another new song that we haven't even played yet live, and Dan had an awesome drum beat, and I just kind of played a riff that it just came to me, and then, you know, the guys came in, Kevin came in with the bass, and then we just, you know, came in, created a song structure that way, and then Martin added lyrics from that, and there's different ways to do it, but that's kind of how we've been doing it.
Eventually, we had some kind of proposition about recording for a compilation of post-punk artists across the world, or I'm not sure if it's across the world or South America.
Slovenia.
Slovenia, okay. So in Slovenia. And they were building this this kind of tribute album with covers to all things post-punk. After much discussion, it was really difficult because we all go over the place on the post-punk aspect, but I think that what came together was mainly Echo and the Bunnymen.
Why that one? Because it did fit with our sound, and there was an aura of mystery to it, and it's grandiose. But we didn't want to pick something like The Killing Moon or Bauhaus Ballet of Gozi or something like that. That's just way too obvious.